Welcome to the Hope City Podcast. My name is David. I'm one of the pastors on staff, and today I'll be your host. We're currently in a series right now on how to read your Bible. And in today's episode, we're going to be talking about how to interpret the Bible. Our guest today to help us break this down is Thomas. Thomas, before we start, why don't you tell us a bit about who you are and what you do here at Hope City Church?
Yeah, so I am the project pastor, the young adult pastor here. So the project is a service that we've been running for, I think it's been close to what, like 17 or 18 years?
Yeah.
Sunday nights at 7. We've got hundreds of young adults that come out every single week. But that is what I do. I lead that team.
Yeah, I know, like even working with you, one of the common things I always saw, and I think it's across most spectrums, is people having a hard time interpreting the Bible. I think a big part of it is there's that aspect where you can make a text say whatever you want it to say. There's dangers to that. We can talk about that later. But for someone who's not familiar, interpreting the Bible, there's a biblical term for it called hermeneutics. Do you want to just tell us what is hermeneutics and why it's important?
Yeah. First of all, when it comes to like interpreting the Bible, I think it's really the first thing I say is that I'm still figuring it out. I mean, I've been preaching it for over a decade, gone to school, but I still feel like I still need to grow in it. So yeah. I don't think there's like a end way of doing it. But yeah, the word hermeneutics, basically it's like a scientific word for learning how to interpret a text, specifically when we're talking about the Bible. So how do I understand it? And actually, I look at hermeneutics as more of an invitation to whoever's reading the Bible. So when you open up the Bible, let's say you're reading Psalm 1 or some other place, hermeneutics is the invitation to understand what's being said. And I think it's really important because, like, if you don't know this, like, the Bible was written in the ancient Near East. It was written as well up to the first century. It's like a whole different world.
Yeah.
Different customs, different cultures, and it was written primarily to them first before us. Mm-hmm. So I was related to, like, an inside joke, you know, like someone has an inside joke and, you know, you come on the outside of it and you're like, you know, maybe it's saying something or funny, mm-hmm. but you don't get the nuance in it. And yeah. So really hermeneutics is the invitation to understand what God was saying back then, how he was saying it, how he was relating it to them. And then it's a way of understanding how does his story or that story unfold now, like in my life and in our context and stuff like that. So
we've both been to Bible college. You went to Vanguard. Was it Northwest Bible College at that time?
Yeah, the first year. And then I was there for Northwest Bible College, and the second year they switched over.
Yeah. So we've been in the same college. We had to take the same types of classes for pastoral ministry. I remember there's terms in there we had to learn in hermeneutics, terms like exegesis and eisegesis. Do you want to break down those terms for our listeners?
Yeah. So exegesis, again, not to be confused with a different kind of Jesus. So E-X-E... G-E-S-I-S. So exegesis literally just means when you read the Bible, you let the meaning come from the text and from its history. And so when you read something, you're asking yourself, what is it trying to say? Mm-hmm. Eisegesis is the really just the opposite of that. It's reading our context into and reading our meaning into the Bible.
Yeah, putting our views into what we think it's saying.
Yeah, so I'll give you an example, okay?
Yeah.
I do have, so if you were to, and this is like actually a common example. So in the book of Revelations, if you're not familiar with the Bible, it's like, it's literally the last book of the Bible, so it's super easy to find. In chapter 3, verse 15 to 16, it says, "I know your works, you're neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I am about to spit you out of my mouth." Eisegesis, which is usually done a lot of the times with this text, is we think hot and cold here and lukewarm. So we're thinking, is God saying, I want you to be like super on fire for Jesus, or like nothing for Jesus, like cold, right? And he's like, but you're lukewarm, you're wishy-washy. I wish you were just like one of two. So like you're 1 foot in, 1 foot out. That would be eisegesis. That's actually looking into the passage, but that's not actually what the passage is saying. Mm-hmm. Exegesis, so he's speaking to a church called Laodicea, and it's surrounded by two other cities. They're very close. And one of them had hot water, and just because it's proximity to wherever the water was, it had hot water, which was known to be something that was actually really healing. So people would like go to those hot baths and things like that, right?
Yeah.
The other city actually had cold water, and that was, they were known for just having refreshing cold water. But because Laodicea was such a huge city, and it was a very like rich city, they'd had to pipe in water because they couldn't provide enough for the population. And so they had lukewarm water. And lukewarm water is basically useless. And so he's telling the Christians, he's not like saying get one foot, one out. It's just that you're rich, you have everything you want, but you're actually useless. I wish that you would either be refreshing to some people or you'd be healing to other people. So your walk with Jesus should turn into something. And so that is how we understand exegesis, is going into it. What's being said to the original audience? Eisegesis is sometimes where you can get into a lot of misunderstanding.
Yeah, I've seen that in Bible studies. It's hard to teach people how to do that sometimes, where I think our default is you want to read into the text based on your culture, how you're living life now in Edmonton. That's why it can be hard for people to understand sometimes.
Can I give you another example?
Oh, totally.
So like, think about like the story of Jonah. Everyone, even if you didn't go to church, you know that there's a story in the Bible about a big fish eating somebody,
yeah.
Right? Like,
oh,
and,
yeah.
And you read it, and eisegesis, you have two camps. People going, you have to believe that he was eaten by a fish, or the rest of the Bible is, if you don't believe that, then you can't believe the rest of any of the Bible. Or you have other people who maybe don't subscribe to Christianity and are like, how could you believe a story about a man eaten by a fish?
Yeah.
That's because when we go to the text that way, in our modern thinking, it sounds a little bit crazy. Even though we believe, you know, God could do amazing things, exegesis is coming to the text going, what if I told you that that story is actually not about that at all? See, when it comes to eisegesis, we make the Jonah story all about this fish and if he did it or not. But
then we get hung up on that forever. We have debates about it.
Exactly. Yeah. Where exegesis is understanding, you have this, he's called to go to Nineveh, that are known for like putting the Israelites into slavery. They have done terrible things. And Jonah doesn't want to go because he knows that if God's sending him to give a message of judgment, it's because God wants to forgive them.
Mm-hmm.
It has everything to do with bitterness and forgiveness.
Yeah.
You know, and then you get this, like, at the end of the story, you get this plant that God grows to shade Jonah. Then God kills the plant, and Jonah's like super upset that he would do that to the plant. And God's like, well, isn't it worth saving these hundreds of thousands of people, you know, more than the cost and life of this plant? And so really this story, what the original author is trying to intend, no matter what you think about the story, is actually about, are we willing to have the same kind of mercy that God has for us,
yeah,
for other people?
Well, yeah, because you can still hung up on if this happened, if it didn't happen, you completely miss the point of what the author is trying to say. You miss the meaning, how it's applicable to your life. Yeah, it's a fine line. It's easily an issue for people, but there are ways to navigate around it. Yeah. If you have proper understanding of especially exegesis, which is, it's huge. You need that stuff. Everyone needs it.
Yeah.
For someone who is starting to learn and just pick up maybe the Bible for the first time, what should they be looking for when interpreting the Bible?
Yeah, good question. First thing I'll say, if you're actually really serious about reading the Bible well, get a study Bible.
Yeah.
They're a little bit more expensive, but I think they're worth it because the first thing you want to do is go to the table of contents. You want to find out where the books are, like where's the Old Testament, where's the New Testament.
Yeah.
But these study Bibles, like before a book, they'll give you a breakdown of why it was written, who it was written to, and the genre. You know, you're not going to read poetry the same as you would read maybe a teaching of Jesus, because teaching of Jesus can be taken at face value, but poetry really can't.
Yeah.
And so there's different genres through the Bible. They're all written in different times by different authors to different people. And so a study Bible kind of does all the work for you.
Yeah.
And so that'd be the first thing, like get a really good study Bible. And if all else fails, find out, you know, why was this written? Who is it written to? What's the purpose of it?
Yeah.
That's a big thing. Look for key things like words like therefore or because of this.
Yeah, words, phrases.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one thing I wish I learned. Someone told me, like, pay attention if someone's saying, like, therefore I say, they're like, they're trying to make a point here.
That's
the point of the passage. I'm like, I never clued into that kind of stuff. Or even Jesus might say, so I say, or I tell you the truth. And then what's followed is something you need to pay attention to. I don't know why that should be common sense for me and for most people, but it wasn't for me. And I was just like, whoa, okay. So I started looking for those words and I'm like, whatever is going to be said next is probably going to be the main point of what they're trying to say and how it's relatable.
I think it's good for people to know that the Bible was not broken down into chapters and numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of the problem, is that when you read it, you read like, oh, chapter 16 must be a separate thought from chapter 15.
Oh, yeah.
You know, originally it was not written like that. It was only meant to break up so it was easier to translate and it was easier to read it. And so, yeah, you raise up a good thing. Just make sure whatever you read, read what came before it, read what came after it, knowing that there's probably a linear thought, you know?
But yeah, some people like to, like, what's God saying? They open it up and smack, there, right in the middle of the Bible is what God's trying to say. But, well, what's leading up to that? What's after that? And even bigger, what's the whole entire book about?
Like, yeah,
the
totally.
Context stuff, right?
Yeah.
Because, yeah, then you can easily make a magical passage that just randomly pop up, say whatever you want it to say.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's super easy to do. I mean, you can open the Bible. You could probably, you know, make it sound any way you want it to sound, or maybe the way you don't want it to sound. But unless you really get an understanding of what's being said and why it's saying it that way,
yeah,
you can get into a lot of trouble. But that's why I think, like, again, like I said at the beginning, hermeneutics is an invitation to understand. And I think God wants us to, like, you know, Psalm 1, I mentioned it before, but it talks about meditate. And the idea of, like, think about it, like, take time to think about it.
Yeah.
Process it and wrestle with it. And if you don't understand something, don't move on. Pray through it. Ask someone questions. Ask, you know, like, that's why Study Bible can help or Find helps. But don't let it go. Like, chew on it until you feel like, I kind of get it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's also another thing is the Bible is typically read aloud in community of people. It's never individually. So gather people, whether it's books or the people who may know a little bit more than you, gather them around you, especially if you don't understand something. It can be super helpful.
Yeah. My experiences, even with Bible studies, there have been times I have no idea how to answer someone's question. And so I'll be like, yeah, let me just ask the group here. But then I had to trust the fact that if God's going to be speaking to the group and if the Spirit's going to be moving that way, then collectively as a group, we can understand the text without putting our views into it. And by the Spirit leading us as a group discussion, the idea and the answer can come out of what's trying to say. I don't have all the answers. Not everyone does. Study Bibles are great resources, but I find you're right. If you take your time, don't rush through it. Don't be impatient. Just be like, I'm done. I don't get it. Even asking questions, other people, you can get an answer. Maybe not for everything in the Bible. Like, how's the world going to end?
Yeah.
Well, that's another podcast in itself. And I don't want to get into that because that's a complicated
one. You'll take
one.
Care of that one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All by myself. Yeah. Maybe Kyle can help me, who is behind the cameras right now. Nope. Yeah, definitely not. But even that aspect, I find taking your time, chew through it, like you said, can be a great idea and even a resource for even your personal self to be like, what is it trying to say to me?
Yeah.
And not making it say what you want it to say. What about this? What are some questions people can ask when reading the Bible to help interpret what it's saying? Just some practical questions.
Yeah, really good. Of course, the first question should be like, what is it actually saying?
Yep.
And let's say you don't actually know what it's saying. What do you think it's trying to say? Mm-hmm. That's a really good question to wrestle with, right? And then I think the secondary question is like, you know, what do I think it's saying to what it is actually saying? And that's where maybe some helps can do. You want to ask like, what is this revealing about God?
Yeah, that's a huge one.
You know,
yeah.
And we always want to go for answers for us, but the Bible's primary intention is to reveal God. Mm-hmm. And I think as God is revealed to us, I think there's this ironic way that it reveals who we are as well. And
wait, especially through the storytelling at some points, yeah.
And so, yeah, what is it saying about God? And then maybe what is it saying to me? And lastly, what difference will this make?
I didn't really ask that question when I was younger reading the Bible. I was always more consumed with, what is this saying about God? And I would have a lot of knowledge about God. I would have concepts of him. I could like explain predestination. But if you ask me, well, so what? What does this mean for my life? Like, I don't care, but what does this mean for me now? I found that more challenging for myself because that meant I have to really listen to what God's trying to say to me. Especially how that could relate to me directly, not just other people or about ideas in the world or concepts or topics, but my own personal life. What is God trying to say to me through this? That can be harder because you might hear something you don't want to hear from God.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Like, oh, crap. I'm not a good person.
And, you know, sometimes there's no answer to that question either, which makes it hard.
Yeah.
It's like if you're reading some passages in the Bible, it's not like, well, how do I apply all these genealogies to my life? Well, you can't, right? Like,
yeah.
But if the Bible's something you're engaging over time, I think what comes up is like you'll find these threads that come up that are like, I may not have understood Matthew 1, which is genealogy of Jesus, right?
Yeah.
But maybe over the course of a few chapters, you will get that answer of what does this mean for me? And so you can't look at Bible reading as a point of like, today, what is God saying to me today? I think it's overarching. What is the Bible consistently saying in your life? Don't be discouraged if you don't find an immediate answer. I'd say the idea is just keep going back to it.
Yeah. You know? Okay, Thomas, great content. We appreciate your time. Thanks again for joining us in this episode. We'll see you next time here at Hope City Church.